just worship his holy name right now. Let's just lift up the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. We praise your name, God. We thank you, God, for what you're doing here tonight, Lord. We give you all the honor, all the praise, oh God. You are the King of kings and Lord of lords. We worship you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. You may return to your seats for just a moment. We welcome you here to our Wednesday night Bible study. And we're having a little weather event outside, but we're still here. I'm imagining there's a few extra people watching online tonight, and we're glad that you are with us here as well. We have, if you're a guest here tonight or online, we just have a small connection card we'd like for you to fill out so we can stay in contact with you and invite you to some of our connection groups or other events. If you're watching online, you can also just fill out that little bit.ly link right there, and that will also do the same exact thing. And we just are so glad you're here. We think this is the best church in the world, and we're excited to have you join us. We're all just close family, and we want to reach out to more people who want to love Jesus like we do. Amen. So also, at this time, we have a short promotional video. Might need to turn the volume up over the rain.
Ministries is an avenue through which men can make a tangible difference locally and globally by engaging their time, talent, and treasure. Partnering with North American Missions, Global Missions, and Children's Ministries, a multitude of capable, committed men continue to build the kingdom at home and abroad by constructing houses of worship, Bible schools, and orphanages, while also engaging in man-to-man evangelism. Your 2021 giving helped underwrite operational expenses at Home International Orphanage in Guatemala and purchased building materials to complete the headquarters church in Uganda. In Bangladesh, the 2021 offering also helped construct the Guy E. Rome Memorial Bible School and assisted with school expenses in Paraguay. On North American soil, Father's Day funds were invested in a new Votech building for Lighthouse Ranch for Boys in Louisiana and helped renovate a church on the Navajo Nation in New Mexico. The annual Father's Day offering is the one chance each year that our churches can bless the ministry that blesses our men. Your 2022 Father's Day offering will help underwrite meaningful ministry to men both in your district and around the world.
In case you didn't know, this Sunday is Father's Day, and you still have time to buy some gifts. I was going through Home Depot, and I saw the little $20 aisle. I don't know. Sometimes I just want to go and buy all my own Father's Day gifts. Anybody ever been in that position? If you're a father, you're like, I almost want to buy my own things because I just restrained myself, though. But also, this Father's Day is the launch of our Engaged Men's Ministry offering campaign for this year. And it's a 45-day campaign. It goes from the beginning, it begins in Father's Day, and it goes till the last day of men's camp, and that's the end of July this year. And so our goal this year is to raise $80,000, and that's throughout the state of Wisconsin, through our joint efforts with North American Missions, Global Missions, and hundreds of capable and committed men continue to build the kingdom at home and abroad, constructing houses of worship, Bible schools, orphanages, in concert with efforts of man-to-man evangelism. What that looks like is there's been, every section has had two extraordinary men's events per year. That's a total of 10 events that has happened across the state of Wisconsin, and that's new in the last couple of years. The district's men's camp, these funds also underwrite that, and that's been life-changing for many men. Last year, we had about 300 men there. This also underwrites Equip Men's Conference. We added a one-day conference for those who can't break away for 3 days and take vacation time. We added a one-day conference on a Saturday for those individuals, and that's actually hosted right here. Last year, Brother Parker preached that, and this year, Brother Dale Pace will be preaching that. This year, also a new thing that we're doing locally, we're adding Wisconsin Work Mission. This is Wisconsin's men's ministry effort to deal with disaster relief and other things like that. If you can imagine right now, if the tornado watch turned into a reality and Madison had a tornado go down through downtown, we're not completely capable or ready to handle trying to come in and help with chaplaincy or help with situations of rebuilding or helping get even trees off of houses and things like that. But there's many states in our organization that do have huge groups and followings that they go out and they do this type of work. And so it's my responsibility in Wisconsin to try to build that up. And so some of these funds will go to help establish that. It's something I've been thinking about and working on for many years now. And so on a global scale, this ministry, this offering supports Church in a Day projects. It also supports 20% of every single missionary country has had a men's ministry building project on their grounds, or some type of men's ministry thing that's happened. So one out of five countries has received funds from men's ministry. On a personal level, you're all my friends here. This is actually my responsibility across the state to raise this as the district men's ministry leader in the district. And it's been really tough. I'll just be honest with you. I've been able to do a lot of cool things with men's ministry, but raising these funds have been the hardest thing. And we were actually last year, our district was, I think, number 7 in the nation in giving. We went from negative numbers to number 7 in the nation in a matter of a few years, which is awesome. But the reality of that is this, is that if, so I'm just doing some simple math, so don't be offended. But if we would have, if Calvary Gospel Church would have gave an equal amount to men's ministry last year as we did to ladies' ministry, Wisconsin would have been number 1 in the nation. That's how little funds are coming in nationwide. So this is a new ministry. Men's ministry has always kind of been on the back burner as far as offerings are concerned. And so it's my job to help promote that. And so I'm asking you, if you believe in men's ministry, you believe in the men, if you've been a man, you've been showing up to these events, if you want to just please help support that, you can give in the offering just by putting men's ministry on a check and put it in the clear box, or just selecting that as you scroll down. And there's some other giving options tonight. Tonight, if you want to give, like I just said, you can give in the kiosk in the back, you can give in person, you can give in mail, or you can use the mobile app. And I know that there's a lot of folks from home here tonight, so you guys are all supporting the church, and we thank you for that. A couple of other announcements. This Saturday a.m., there's a CPR certification class hosted by Take Aim Connection Group. This is open to anyone who wants to be CPR certified. So that begins at 9 a.m., and the cost is $35. And so if you want to do that, you have to see Kirby Waters for more information. I'm assuming if you showed up at 9 a.m. on June 18th, you'd probably be fine as well, but talking to Kirby would be the best. Also, this Sunday, June 19th, Father's Day service, all the 10 a.m. classes remain the same, including children, adults, and new life classes. At the 11 a.m. service, our Father's Day service, we want you to be sure to register all of the fathers in the front desk, because we're going to have some giveaways, and we'll also be excited to hear from Eric Seidel and Lois Grant on this Father's Day. So, awesome. A very special announcement. There's been a slight change in some of the things we're trying to do for Junior Camp. Junior Camp starts up this basically Monday. And so if you're a parent with a child going to Junior Camp next week and would like to work with other families to coordinate rides up and back, please meet in the library after church. If you cannot attend this meeting, if you're at home right now, but wish to be considered in coordination, please contact Pastor Peter, and he's here tonight, and so that'll be awesome. So let's all stand. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. A lot of announcements tonight. We did have one prayer request card turned in. It's a lady named Deborah Olson, works with the Brother Smith. She's having some sinus problems, ears, and respiratory infection, and I guess it's serious. She can't come to work. So we want to pray for her. And also we want to take some special time out tonight to pray for Sister Thompson, who's in inpatient hospice right now and apparently having some major struggles with vision, not being able to see right now, and other complications. And so we want to pray for her, that especially for pain in her head, that she's having some very severe migraine headaches. And we just want to take some special time out for her and pray for her. And if Brother Thompson or Thompson family, if you'd like to just come down, if some of you guys would like to gather around the Thompson family, this has been a very, very tough time for the Thompson family. And so we just want to take a little time tonight and just recognize the things that they're going through and pray for them especially. So if you would just bow your heads with me tonight, just raise your hands. Lord, we thank you, Lord Jesus, for being a sovereign Lord, God. We know that, God, that you know everything, the end from the beginning, God. But right now, Lord Jesus, one of our saints, one of our sisters is in pain and in need and desperate need of healing, God. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you lay your hand on Sister Thompson's body right now. You'd heal her mind. You'd heal her from cancer, Lord, tonight, Lord Jesus. You'd rebuke pain from her body, Lord, in the name of Jesus, Lord. You'd restore vision to her in the name of Jesus, God. You'd give doctors and nurses and all of the specialists divine wisdom that they have not gained from any school, Lord. But, Lord, you'd speak to their mind the thing that they should look for and to do, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, you'd comfort this family and set a hedge of protection around their minds, oh God, as they struggle, Lord, with the realities of the sickness that is happening to their mother and to their wife, oh Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord Jesus, to bless her, Lord, right now. Let her know that you're with her, Lord Jesus. Comfort her, Lord. Give her peace of mind, Lord Jesus. We also ask you, Lord Jesus, you'll touch this lady, Deborah Olson, Lord Jesus. You lay your hand on her life, Lord God. You bless her, Lord, and heal her from this lung infection, Lord Jesus. We ask you to just touch her and help her, Lord God, to overcome it, Lord Jesus, and help her to stay connected to Brother Ben Smith. Maybe she would attend a service or two, Lord. We ask you, Lord Jesus, and in your name we pray, in Jesus' name. Amen. We thank you, Lord. Just worship with us as we enter into a time of worship.
Harbor Church. It is so good to be here in the house of the Lord. What a day, huh? I tell you, I was outside for a while today with my grandkids enjoying the day, and boy, was it just beautiful and windy. Boy, I'm thank God for the wind. Kind of made that 91, 92, 93. You can be seated. Degrees a little more tolerable. And here we are as the evening sets under torrential rains. I've received some calls wanting to know what our policy is for winter storms or summer storms. I'm trusting that most all of you have roofs over your cars and that you have windshield wipers. And winter storm warnings are a little different than summer storm warnings. And we can, most of us, navigate fairly well if it's a heavy rain, but if it's heavy snow, makes navigating a little different. So I will just tell you, as I told those today, you do what you're comfortable with, all right? I know we have a lot of older folks. I don't like driving. I used to love driving in the rain. Monday, we left La Crosse, and it was torrential rain, and that rain followed us all the way across the state for almost 4 hours. We got to Shano. It was still raining, and it continued to rain, and it wore me out. I told my wife, I said, I'm ready to stop somewhere and have a nice long lunch break, but so many places are closed on Mondays now. But nevertheless, you do what you're comfortable with, and we're okay with that here. So if you're watching us at home online tonight, thank you for joining in with us. We're working on a series, and we've kind of shifted a little bit within this series. We've talked about encouraging others, and I want to continue with this tonight. We talked about a bit about kind of labeling God and who God is and what God is and the attributes or characteristics of God, and now we're shifting a little bit. I want to start just a two-parter. And reading tonight from a selected passage within this two-part of our series, Encouraging Others, it's Job chapter 14, and reading verse 1, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. He cometh forth like a flower and is cut down. He fleeth also as a shadow, and he continueth not. And doth thou open thine eyes upon such as one, and bringest me unto judgment with thee? Who can bring a clean thing out of an unclean? Not one. We're going to talk for the next few weeks about how to successfully deal or how to successfully navigate life's pressures. And I just want to say this at the beginning of this series. There's a lot of really good information in these two messages. And what you do with that is up to you. I cannot fix anyone here's problems. Okay? I can't solve your financial problems. I can't make them go away. I can't fix your marriage problems, your physical problems, whatever you have, I can't fix. Also, God can't fix your problems. He can't fix your financial problems. You're going to say, what are you talking about? God can't fix anything you won't allow him to fix. Okay? Some of us have a habit of wanting to hang on to our problems. And thus, hanging on to our problems, we've hung on to them for so long that they become our identity, and we don't want to give up our identity. And God is saying, if you want me to fix you, if you want me to make you as perfect as I can make you in your flesh, then you're going to have to submit to me. So I can't fix anything. God can't fix anything if we are unwilling to submit ourselves to his will and to his plan. We are born but a few days, what Job says. Now, Job, he had an inside track. If you ever read the book of Job, I would encourage that. We are born but a few days, and trouble comes. I want to tell you tonight, it doesn't matter how rich you are. It doesn't matter how poor you are. It doesn't matter troubles or life's troubles. No individual is exempt from this process. It's a very sobering fact and a frustration as well. We desire a trouble-free existence, or at least a minimal of troubles in our lives. But I'm also reminded of the fact that when we long for life without difficulties, or we long for life without troubles, remind us that oak trees grow strong in the contrary winds. We look out across our landscape today, and if you were here Monday and the storms that came through, there's trees and there's branches. Some trees have succumbed to the wind, but other trees have stood firm and stood strong. But it's not the sandy soil and the light breezes of the beach that makes for strong trees. It's the winds that blow and the winds that pound. You see those trees, the oak tree stands strong, stands statue like a statue and very little movement. But you see the palm tree, and the palm tree will bend all the way over, and sometimes the top of the palm tree will touch the ground because that's how a palm tree is designed. You see, each tree is designed to withstand the winds, just as you and I are so different. Some of us may stand strong like an oak tree, and some of us may blow with the wind, but yet we are standing. We are still there when the storm passes. I'm reminded that diamonds is beautiful. They say, what, diamonds are a girl's best friend? I don't know who coined that phrase, a little vain for my thinking, but nevertheless, I hope diamonds aren't my wife's best friend, but if it is, I'm in trouble. But you see, diamonds are formed under immense pressure. And the more pure the diamond, the more high quality the diamond, the more pressure it has been under to form that diamond. We look at our world as our world continues to spin out of control. Our lives are so intertwined at times with our surroundings. Things that happen in our world, things that can happen a whole continent away, can affect us on our jobs and can affect us in our finances. It becomes very difficult to avoid the pressures that we are faced with on an increased scale. When we look at the pressures of life, there are so many different pressures that come at us. There seems to be, if I could say, four main causes of our pressures. And if you're a note taker tonight, you can get ready. Whether these are generated externally or internally. So when we look at some of these things that cause us pressure, first, sometimes we get overloaded with more to do than the hours of a day will allow us to complete. Those are pressures that we face with. We just sometimes we commit ourselves to far more than we can get done. I struggle with this. This is a big struggle. This is a big pressure point for myself. I commit to things. I think I can get done what I used to could get done. But I find out this year at work week at camp that I'm not getting as much done as I got done 6 years ago, because life has changed in 6 years, and you changed physically, you changed mentally, you changed emotionally, and there's different pressures this year than different years. So first, we get overloaded with more to do than the hours of a day will allow us to complete. Second, we allow our emotions to create worry, anxiety, and frustration. And those emotions can drain us emotionally and physically and mentally. Remember one thing. Don't ever forget this. God created you and I as body, soul, and spirit. That's how we are created. And we can get ourselves worked up. We can get our emotions. We can create anxiety and we can create worry. And that anxiety and worry can lead to frustration. And it can wear us out physically. It could wear us out mentally. And it can wear us out spiritually. Third, we begin to play the worst case scenarios over and over in our minds. You ever do this? You imagine the worst things that could ever possible happen. That's what I'm talking about. I'm talking about points, causes of pressure. These are all things that we put on ourselves, don't we? We have a problem. We have a situation. You get a phone call. You get a letter in the mail. Somebody calls you and says, hey, I really need to talk to you. I can't talk now, but call me when you got at least 30 minutes. You get one of those phone calls. You worry about things. You get an email, and it's kind of a real blunt email, and somebody wants to continue a conversation, and you start throwing things around in your mind, like, oh man, what if it's this? What if it's this? And we create this whole scenario in our minds, don't we? You ever do that? If you say you don't, you're a better person than I am. Somebody wants, the pastor calls you and says, I need to talk to you. What do you do? Your mind starts going, oh, no, what did I do wrong? My dad used to do that. He was an expert at that. Son, I need to talk to you. Man, we'd confess to things he had nothing, he knew nothing about. I remember one time a friend of ours talking to my brother John and I said, you guys are so stupid. Your dad, he knows this. He does this to you. Get you to confess to things. Basically, he was saying, keep your mouth shut. You're getting me in trouble. But nevertheless, we play these worst things that can happen. And fourth, listen very carefully here. The enemy wants to change your spiritual, my spiritual, and mental environment in order to break our focus off of what's important to God's divine purpose in our lives. You see, the enemy, this is a tactic he's used from day one. He wants to get your mind off of God and on anything else but God. And he wants to change our spiritual and our mental environment. I know Christians and I know of Christians that live in constant state of frustration. And it should not be that way. Should not be that way. You know why it's that way? Because we as Christians haven't successfully learned how to deal with life's pressures. We can say all day long, well, Jesus can take care of this. He's got this. God's got it. God's got it. And there's nothing wrong with that as long as we do what is necessary to allow God to actually have it. So pressure. Pressure can either cause us to fight or it can cause us to take flight from our current level of circumstances. Now, this is not an uncommon problem. The pressures of life, they're not new to humanity. They're not any worse for modern humanity than they have been in years past. I've heard people say, oh, it's so much worse today than it was. All the things we have to deal with today. Listen, you could go all the way back generation after generation after generation. There's always been sin. There's always been sin. It may not have been as advertised as much. because of how we advertise it today, but it's always been here. So it's not an uncommon problem. As long as we've had a sin issue, there have been pressures of life issues. So when we look at sin and we look at pressures of life, we can draw a direct line. You ever do those quizzes where you have you got a definition and you got a word and you got to just draw the lines? You can take sin and you can take life and you can take pressures and you can just draw a line and connect them all, like connecting the dots. Peter, in his short book, his epistle, 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. I'm going to read, and I'm going to do a lot of reading from the Classic Amplified. So we're warned that this is a problem, and it's always going to be a problem. So Peter writes, Beloved, do not be amazed and bewildered at the fiery ordeal which is taking place to test your quality, as though something strange, something unusual, or something alien to you and your position were befalling you. No matter whether the pressure you feel is real, no matter the pressure you feel is imagined, no matter the pressure you feel is constant, or no matter the pressure you feel is temporary, God will always provide you a strength or a resistance. And he will be the power. He will give you the power to endure whatever comes your way. We look at Paul. Paul writing to the church in Corinth in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, 13, reading again from the Classic Amplified. We're going to read this carefully. He says, "For no temptation, no trial regarded as enticing to sin, no matter how it comes or where it leads." So he says, "No temptation has overtaken you and laid hold on you that is not common to man." He's basically telling us, remember Solomon's words that there's no new thing under the sun? He's saying, listen, there's no temptation, there's no trial, there's no sin, and no matter where it comes or where it leads to, that's not common to humanity. That is temptation or trial that has come to you that is beyond human resistance, and that is not adjusted and adapted and belonging to human experience as such as man could bear. But God is faithful. But God is faithful to his word and to his compassionate nature, and he can be trusted not to let you be tempted and tried, analyzed, assessed, or examined beyond your ability and strength of resistance and power to endure. But with the temptation, he always will provide the way out. He always will provide a means of escape to a landing place that you may be capable and strong and powerful to bear up under it patiently. Now, this is a pretty complex scripture when you look at it. It's a long scripture, but it's a scripture that we need to at least put on some sort of a 3x5 card and put it on your visor, put it on your refrigerator, put it on your bathroom mirror, something that we can look at every day, because we need to commit this to memory, and then we need to insert this scripture into our everyday lifestyle. See, this is how the word changes our lives. I can't get up here and just preach and talk tonight and say anything that's going to change your life if you don't apply it to your life, if you don't make application. That's what has to happen. You have to apply this to our lives. When we take this scripture, we read it and live it, and believe God to provide a way of escape, it says he will always do so. So we need to trust in his promises. Trust is a big thing. I found out in my life, reluctantly, I mean, these are some of those things that we reluctantly admit to, that sometimes we say we love God and we say we trust God, but we love God and we trust God only so far, don't we? We could be that way. You say, well, God, I love you. I'll do anything for you, but don't ask me to do this or don't ask me to do that. Or when God asks us to do something, we question it. We struggle with that. Trust his promises. John writes in his book in John 14:1, do not let your hearts be troubled. The Amplified says, do not let your hearts be troubled. Don't let your hearts be distressed or agitated. Kind of fits in with our topic tonight. You believe in and adhere to and trust in and rely on God? Believe in and adhere to and trust and rely in me also. So what is the best way to deal with the pressures and stresses of life? Remember, each one of us is different. Every one of us here is different. We can all face the exact same situation, and we can all react different because we're different. And sometimes that's where our struggle comes in, isn't it? We expect everybody to respond or act how we act, but we're different. So what's the best way? Each one of us different, so we process life differently. Remember, we're different. Our kids are different. They're not the same as us. Yes, they're our flesh and blood, but they're different. So I put together a list. Now, your list may be different than mine. And you may have a different order on your list than mine. Yours may be a different priority. Nevertheless, of how one can successfully deal with whatever pressure comes our way. So the first thing on your list on how to successfully deal with whatever pressure comes your way, the first thing we have to do is confidently connect with the one who empowers you through every adversity. So we have to confidently connect with God, who has the ability to empower you and empower me through every adversity that we will ever face in life. Proverbs 3, verse 5 and 6 says, lean on and trust in and be confident in the Lord with all your heart and mind, and do not rely on your own insight or understanding. In all your ways, recognize and acknowledge him, and he will direct and make straight and plain your paths. When we know and recognize and acknowledge God, either before or when a situation arises, there will be no hesitation about what we should do or shouldn't do, or how we can handle this or any other day or any other situation. Psalms 34:4 says, I inquired of the Lord and required him. Of necessity and on the authority of his word, and he heard me and delivered me from all my fears. We have to recognize that we can't handle the pressures of life by ourselves, and God never designed us to do that. This was supposed to be a relationship partnership with God, us and God. And so many times, I'm speaking from my own life's experiences, so many times I put other experiences and other relationships and expect more out of those relationships than my relationship with God. We get our priorities. But God can. God will and God desires to deliver us from all of our fears and all of our pressures. Too often we live by the way the world lives. That's understandably because we live in the world. Every last one of us lives in the world. We go to work, we come home, we go to the grocery store, we face pressures, we face problems, we face situations. But too often we begin to think that we must be the one to change or to take charge, and do something when God wants us to take our fears and our pressures to Him. Did you get what I said there? I kind of misquoted on that, got ahead of myself. Too often we live the way the world lives, thinking that we must be the one to take charge because that's the way it is in the world. And then do something when God wants to be the one to take charge in our lives. We want to fix. We want to be the one to fix everything. God says there's some things in life you just can't fix. I'm not preaching at anyone tonight. I'm preaching with you. So when we look at this, we look at John 15:4, in a not so common version of the Bible, it says, "Stay joined to me, and I will stay joined to you." No branch can produce fruit alone. It must stay connected to the vine. It is the same with you. You cannot produce fruit alone. You must stay joined to me. There's so many things in life. We're just adamant that we're going to solve this and we're going to do this on our own. One of the best ways to stay joined is to stay connected to the vine, is with a personalized confession every day of the Word of God in our lives. We need to take every day. We're talking about confession. I don't want to sound all charismatic, but some of these words we, as Pentecostals, we don't like to use because of the connotation or how they've been used. But we need to confess every day. That's repentance. We need to repent. We need to confess. We need to take His word and allow Him to implant it into our lives. So with a personalized repentance or confession of the word, dealing with whatever you may be facing at any given day or any given time. Second thing that we need to do in order to overcome life's problems, overcome stresses and pressures, is we have to calm ourselves down. You ever hang around someone that's always wound up like an 8-day clock? People get all wound up. Everybody got really quiet on me here tonight. We've all focused the reins no longer. You don't hear the rain anymore. Everybody's quiet. We get all bent out of shape. The best way for you to calm yourself in a pressure-packed situation is to literally think and speak happy, rich thoughts from the Word of God. We talked about this a little bit a few weeks ago in our Friday night prayer meeting. Remembering that God's promises changes our focus from the negative to the positive. Psalms 119:143 in the NLT says, "At pressure and stress, or as pressures and stress bear down on me, I find joy in your commands. I find joy in your instructions. I find joy in your guidelines." Sadly, there are too many people, including us, some of us here tonight, who seek relief from pressure in all the wrong places and all the wrong ways. I need something to calm my nerves. So I'm going to go shopping. I've heard of people that say, I got to go shopping. I got to get my mind off the pressures at work. And you just add more pressures at work because now you have to work extra hours because you just spent more money shopping. Listen, you can't spend your way into happiness. I've heard people say, "Oh, I sure like to try." No, it's just a dead end road. You see billionaires all over the planet. You see the yachts and some of these things, all the possessions that some of these folks, they're alcoholics, they're drugs, all of this. They're not. That's not how God designed us to be. I need something to calm my nerves. I need to solve some pressures, and we seek out old habits. You know, I've known of brothers and sisters that still struggle with drinking and smoking when life gets real tough, and we refer back to old habits. That's just our old sinful nature seeking to fight its way back into our lives. So we go back to old habits. We go back to our old selves. Our old temperament begins to come back. So here we're trying to calm ourselves, and we're getting ourselves all worked up. But you see, if these are short-term fixes, and they're never going to create a permanent solution for the pressures that you're experiencing. If you want to get over the pressures in your life, you have to take and come up with a permanent, godly, God-based, God's word-based solution. The short-term fixes will never fix it. But if left unchecked, these temporary fixes can continue to create further addictions and further dependency, causing other problems and other levels of pressures in our lives. So you're just basically swapping out one pressure for another pressure. That's why you can't binge spend your way out of financial pressure any more than you can drink yourself out of being an alcoholic. It just doesn't work that way. Sometimes we have to have the long-term solution, but so many times we want to settle for that quick fix. A long-term solution is when you take the time and the effort needed to plan out what it takes to get you where you need to go. Did you just get that? The long-term solution is when you have to take the time and effort needed to plan out what it takes to get you where you need to go. Listen, wishing and hoping, and yes, even praying, not the right prayers, but even praying won't always get you there. We talked a little while ago about praying amiss. We have to apply God's principles. We have to apply the principle of God's word into our lives every day. We have to. We have to follow his advice. Exodus 18:23 in the NLT says, if you follow this advice, and if God commands you to do so, then you will be able to endure the pressures, and all these people will go home in peace. So follow his advice. Endure pressure. Go home in peace. That sounds like a principled solution to me. Next, we're going to take, and I want to skip a point here because I wanted to end with a little assignment. Okay, so I'm going to rework a little bit here. I believe that the next, you need to change your pressure point. Okay, change your pressure point. What you tolerate, I want to close with this one. What you tolerate, you accept. And what you accept becomes your norm, and you begin to follow that. So what you tolerate, you accept. What you accept becomes, it becomes part of your character, becomes part of your normal way of living. And you follow that. But if you don't like where your life is heading, then what you have to do is you have to make the changes in your life that cause you to change directions. So perhaps it's time, if you're tired of dealing with certain pressures, it's time for you to change your settings in your life. Change must first start in you, and then it will begin to flow through you, and it then will begin to affect the circumstances around you. Someone said that change is a door that can only be opened from the inside. You've got to decide you're going to change your tolerance and acceptance of the things that bring pressure into your life, into your family, into your job, into your environment. You've got to change you before you can release the pressure that you're facing. It's not a matter of changing the circumstances. It's a matter of changing your perception of the circumstances from your view to God's view. Bishop used to talk to us about God's perspective, God's point of view. Sometimes that requires us to make a decision to take a leap of faith, and it's time to take a leap of faith and change our approach, the way that things bring pressure into your life. So as your homework assignment for this next week, okay, I'll get this out. I want you to write a list of things that you need to change in your life. Now, I've had you do homework assignments before, and some of you, I'm sure you went home. Maybe you wrote them down. I had lunch with a brother not too long ago, and he said, I did that homework assignment. Do you want me to bring that to church? And I said, well, I give you homework assignments because I feel like if we just listen to it, we don't actually do anything about it, then we just continue living the way that we've always lived and struggling with what we've always struggled with. Maybe you don't have any trouble with pressures in life. Maybe this doesn't apply to you tonight, but I want you to write a list of things you need to change in your life. And this is so simple, yet it's going to be so hard for so many people. You see, at times as a pastor, I grow weary listening to the same complaints over and over again. People unhappy about life, people unhappy about struggles, about frustrations, yet they do very little or nothing to make the corrections in life to change. So listen, unless you change something in your life, hear me, okay? This is just so simple. This is so biblically principled. Unless you change something in your life, you will never grow beyond the here and the now. You will never grow any further than where you are right now if you're struggling in life. So I want you to not only make the list of the things you need to change in your life, but then I want you to create a plan based off of principles that you are learning in the Word of God. This is where we make a list, and then we take what we're learning and we apply it to make those changes. So that 6 months from now, you're not struggling with the same frustrations you're struggling with now, because that's not how it should be. That's not how God created us. That's not how God wants us to live. But you create a plan to make the changes which you feel need to be changed. You see, if it's something outside of your control, then dig into the Word of God. You say, well, I don't know how to find these scriptures. I'm going to give you a very, very simple, simple, simple instruction. If you're frustrated and you can't find scriptures on frustration, just Google it. If you want to know how to change your oil, you Google it. Some people don't feel like, I just don't feel right Googling something in the Word of God. Google it. Do yourself a favor, do me a favor, do everybody else a favor. If you're frustrated, Google frustration scriptures. And listen, they'll all pop up, all kinds of them. It's real simple. Ask the Holy Spirit. We believe that when we receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we talked about Pentecost Sunday, receiving the Holy Spirit. It's in us as a guide. It's supposed to be a guide, Brother Jerry. Not only is it part of my salvation, but it's there to guide me. It's there to be a lookout, to help steer me in the right direction. So use the Holy Spirit. That's why it's in you. Use it to direct you in the ways that you can change. Matthew 9:17 says this, "And no one puts new wine in old wineskins, for the old skins would burst from the pressure, spilling the wine and ruining the skins. New wine is stored in new wineskins so both are preserved. So as you stand to your feet tonight, and our musician, Sister Abby, comes, I say this not jokingly, but very seriously, change before you explode. Or even worse, before you miss the opportunities that God has set before you because you can't effectively deal with pressure in life. So I know this is a very teaching Bible study, but it's things that we have to learn if we're going to continue to grow in God. We want to be a good witness. I don't want to be a loose cannon. I want to be a good witness. I heard Brother Ben praying here tonight about, God, allow yourself to shine through. I want God to shine through my life. When people see me, I don't want them to see Roy Grant. I want them to see Jesus. There's something different about this guy. There's something different about this particular. And I want to be a witness. I want my life to be a witness. So as Sister Abby leads us in worship, I'm just going to open up this altar. I know the weather. I don't know what the weather's doing outside. If you have to leave, I understand. If you're at home, get your family together. Take their hands, fathers, and begin to pray and say, we want to, as a family, we want to deal. I want to deal with life's pressures how God wants me to deal with life's pressures. God bless you.
Eyes.
Church. Thank you so very much for coming out tonight. It's actually somewhat daylight again outside. About 7 o'clock, it was pretty dark out there, but it's lightened up a bit. So just remember, get your notepad out, sit down, begin to write down those areas of your life that are causing pressures. Then you go into the same Word of God that we taught from tonight. And if you can't find scriptures, just Google it. So if you're having frustration, if you have anger issues, all kinds of stuff, write them down and see how that, remember, the Word of God was written to you. I personalize it. It wasn't written to Rick Solberg. It was written to Roy Grant. So I can't look at the Word of God and say, well, I sure wish Rick would follow this. No, I need to look at the Word of God and say, I need to follow this. It's up to Rick to follow it on his own. I'm not going to stand someday for Rick. I'm going to stand for me. I want to stand before God for what I do or what I don't do. So take it, apply it, learn from it, grow. Grow so that 6 months from now, you're not in the same spot you're in right now. All right? God bless you. Love you all. Have a great evening. Thank you so much, Sister Abby and Brother Bryce. God bless you. We'll see you on Sunday.